first reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now surrounded by signs of fire, wind, and a variety of languages in their midst, the people were amazed and astonished at Jesus' promise coming true. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please read responsibly with me Psalm 104. "How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. You give it to them, they gather it, you open their hand, your hand, and they are filled with good things. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Here Paul speaks about the mystery of baptism. Through the Holy Spirit, we are claimed, gathered, and welcomed into Christ's body, the church, and we receive new names in our adoption, brother, sister, child of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Said Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm now going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, Pentecost comes again. The same time as opening fishing season, right? You know, if it wasn't for Pentecost, I think Easter would just be put away, like so much of our decorations are put away and so many Hallmark cards are taken off the shelf. And yesterday, or 2 days ago, when I was at Mall of America with our grandkids, we stopped into one of the most intriguing stores that I know of, the Peep Store. Right, Nancy? And I asked the clerk, there was nobody in the Peep Store, but my two grandkids who had their hands on this machine that went, oh, your hot tamale or your whatever, and whatever, and they tried to give us samples and tried to help us buy some more Peeps, but I said, what do you do the rest of the year? And they said, well, you know, Easter is our most popular time, but then it just kind of goes away and comes back maybe one other time, but we just basically just kind of simple. And I thought, well, is that an indication of how we as Christians have taken and used and so absorbed Easter as well? And it comes and goes like every year. And I believe that's why Pentecost came. Pentecost came so that Easter would not die. Pentecost came so that it's not just the birth of the church, but that all that, what that resurrection brought to the world would not go away. That it would be right in your face, if you will, and absorbed in your being and your thinking and your acting. Easter is not dead. This is a day in which we know that even failed relationships in our lives have hope. This is a day when we wake up some days thinking, I don't know if I can take another step or go on anymore or live any longer. We are just filled and overcome by despair. You've been there. This is a day in which God says, I have not abandoned you. I will send an advocate, and that advocate will be so deeply connected to you, it'll be like that advocate is in you. This is a day in which possibilities are now given back, when change is now seen as a reality. Because too often our lives dry up and we don't think that anything's going to be different. But here on Pentecost,
our poor expectations or our dying expectations are now resuscitated. The Spirit of God is unleashed and hope is now given back. A couple weeks ago, Linda and I went to a fundraiser for one of our grandson's schools. It's the only school in Minnesota that attends to autism and other sensory disorders. In fact, it's one of the few schools in the whole country. And in these fundraisers, you typically hear very moving stories, and one woman stood up and she said, we have six kids, we're from upstate New York, and we moved our whole family here because the story was so familiar. People sitting at tables were in tears, businessmen and women, family members were in tears because every story spoken was the same story that they had lived. Where their child was in a school, in public school, and yet they were always in the principal's office or outside the classroom, or someone would say again and again, I'm sorry, we cannot help your child. Where all hope seemed to have been lost, where they have gone from one school to the next, homeschool didn't work, nothing seemed to happen, and yet this one school brought back hope. Pentecost is that assurance of hope that we all can come to in the midst of our despair and broken relationships and in our failings. We can rediscover again what God has intended from the resurrection, that nothing can defeat God, not even death. Not even death. Pentecost is God's Spirit unleashed. It's not just candles lit on a cake and we sing happy birthday, but it's God's word being proclaimed and given to us forever. Think of creation. In Genesis 1, in the midst of all the chaos, all of a sudden the breath of God comes. And the Hebrew word for breath is the same for spirit. Think of John's gospel, John chapter 1, kind of a concluding kind of words where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The Word now becoming Jesus. Touchable, tangible. In the resurrection, the angel at the tomb saying to those early visitors to the tomb, did you not remember the Word? Did you not remember the word that he said he would rise on the third day? Pentecost is God's word and God's promise now coming and being linked together again. This is not new. In fact, we heard it from the prophet Joel. And I will pour out my spirit. And did you hear the breakdown that was happening? And my spirit will come and men and women, slave and free, young and old, will now be given this gift. All the barriers that break us down and that keep us apart, all the barriers that we build, will be dismantled when the Spirit of God shows up as we have been promised. The Spirit of God entering into our lives now, not just at death, but now. To reclaim our lives so that we can live in a new way with new authority and new power and certainly new hope. The gift of Pentecost is the word of God, and the gift of Pentecost is also the understanding, both coming together. How else would a language be spoken if no one would be able to understand it? It would be like you people shouting in the midst here a little while ago. Pentecost is God's language given to us. And did you hear in the story what happened? I find this interesting in light of what goes on today in the world, that none of them were asked to give up their culture or their language. None of them were asked to give up what the foods they ate. They were unified, all right, but not uniformed. They were unified not by the clothes they wore, the food they ate, or the language they spoke, but by the promise that was given to them, each and every one of them, to the world, in fact, that the one who has died has now come back to life, And the one who has come back to life will not abandon us, but rather come to us, give us what we need, listen to us, and allow us to speak. I don't know if St. Francis said this, but supposedly he did. He said, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. I do know this, that when, and some of you have heard the stories of people from our church going down to the state capitol and talking to elected leaders. This is not debating the details and the data and all the numbers. This is telling stories. I think the language that the Holy Spirit opens up for us is not that we know all the Bible verses and which chapter and what phrases that are to be used to proof text our particular beliefs, but rather it opens us up to be vulnerable to ourselves and to others, and it allows us to speak God's language by just telling our story of joys and suffering. And being able to still hold on to that faith that God is God and God is present in both the joy and the sufferings of our life. To be able to testify, if you will, the power of Jesus over death, even when we face death. To hold on to that hope, the hope and the promise. We are called to be united in that witness, not necessarily uniform. How each and every one of us does that will be the gift of the Spirit in each and every one of us. This is the world that God has created. We are called to live in Jesus, to witness to the not only resurrection of Jesus, but to that potential of life that is reclaimed and renewed every day. It is where we get a chance to speak hope to the hopeless, to be able to offer care to those who feel so left out or abandoned. This is the power of the Spirit working in us in the world. In Bible class today, between the service, one person said, do you ever feel cynical? Do you ever feel like it's never going to happen? Do you ever live long enough to think, oh my goodness, nothing is ever going to change? All this world will continue to somehow just erode. And I thought about that and I said, yeah, I do become cynical. But God has claimed me and all of you in a way that allows us to still be the witness in our maybe small parts of the world, small locations. But all of a sudden, that witness begins to grow. You can't tell me that you haven't experienced someone who has come up to you or included you and showed you love, that doesn't make an impact on you so that you then make an impact on others. This is the Spirit branching itself out to the world. This is the Spirit that leaves us full and rich and hopeful. Come, Jesus says. Come and receive that Spirit. I will pour it out to all of you. And when I do, the world will change. Amen.